Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
A couple of massive Premier League fixtures taking place this weekend. It's Merseyside against London. So Everton with that game against Arsenal, and of course Liverpool against Spurs. Let's preview it with Tony Scott from the Liverpool Echo. Morning, Toe.
Good morning, Steve.
Let's start off by talking about Seamus Coleman and how he could influence the second half of Everton's season. Just in the space of 90 minutes alone, he changed the entire tone and feeling of Goodison Park.
Oh, he was unbelievable, Steve. To think you could come back from an injury that severe and to play 90 minutes like that was unbelievable. No one's seen him in the team sheet. And next minute to perform like that as if he'd never been away was remarkable. And I think what Everton fans love about Seamus Coleman, obviously they've heard that song, 60 grand, 60 grand. At the end of the song, the chant says playing football in the Everton way. And that's what Seamus Coleman represents. He represents his endeavour, his passion, his commitment. And obviously that quality in the final third. But when you're watching Seamus Coleman and Everton shirt, that's all you want to see, 100% effort and commitment and passion. And Seamus Coleman's got that in abundance. And that's what Everton haven't had all season. And so long that Everton, a big atmosphere was bouncing on during the week. And that's no coincidence that Seamus Coleman was back in the team.
What was that rousing ovation like when he did that run in the 93rd, 4th minute?
Oh, it was unbelievable. You know, it was like it would have been the fairy tale ending for him, but it was so overwhelming for him. And toward the end, and I say it was a nice touch, and it probably goes unnoticed. After the whistle, a lot of Leicester City players went up to Seamus Coleman, Vardy, and Maguire, and he hugged him. And it really made up for him to see a player from a double leg break, don't forget Steve, in March, to come back and still perform at this top level like that. It was unbelievable. And it was very, very pleasing to see a lot of Leicester City players join in the congratulations too.
Yeah, I mean, as Kevin Ratcliffe says today in the Echo, breath of fresh air really to the side.
Oh, he was, Steve. And was whatever they've needed. And if you think about it, you've had different managers, Ronald Koeman, obviously David Underwick, now Sam Allardyce, and there's players there that have just given Everton that extra oomph. Balassi gets you up the pitch, and obviously with the pace of Walcott now, and now you've got Seamus Coleman down the right-hand side, Everton have got a little bit of an understanding down there now, and it could be something special at Everton. I've got Walcott and Coleman cause absolute havoc down that right-hand side. Leicester City just couldn't cope. And all of Everton's danger and all their work was coming down that right-hand side. And this weekend will be interesting to see if Seamus Coleman starts, because I can't see it the way he performed. You can't be out for the best part of 8 or 9 months after a double leg break, play 90 minutes in them conditions as well. It was zapping. It was a thunderous rain at Goodison Park on Wednesday. I just think he's not going to be able to walk for the best part of 3 or 4 days, let alone perform on a Saturday against Arsenal with the quality they've got. So it wouldn't surprise me if he sits this one out and maybe comes on second half, because it'll have taken a lot out of him that much.
No, he's got to be managed, hasn't he? So John Joe Kenny will probably get some football. A couple of thoughts on the Twitter. Phil says Seamus Coleman brings the feel-good factor back to Everton. He should have his own statue. Nick says, never in a million years did I expect Coleman to come back so quickly and on it. And Dave says, Coleman, world-class performance. We've missed him so much. Definitely the case with all those comments. But I think the link, the partnership that he's possibly going to draw up with Theo Walcott is so important.
It is, Steve. I think what you've got two players with quality, more than anything. Obviously, that helps. When two players have got ability and they've got quality, but what they've got is 100% commitment to go with that as well. And it bodes well. There's many times when Seamus Coleman was bombing down the right-hand side and Walcott was dropping back for him. They've got a bit of an understanding straight away, weirdly enough, which you don't really get. When you sign players and you'd open up, you can have an understanding and they can click instantly. It was like with the Baines-Pienaar combination. That was telepathic and they instantly clicked. And you're hoping this is the case now, because you can't fathom how they can... Listen, how is that happening? I can sign a player from South Africa and I can have a lad from Merseyside and they can click instantly. Well, Everton have got an Irish lad here and they've got obviously Theo Walcott, and they've instantly clicked straight away. They've got a combination, they've got an understanding, and that's where all of Everton's danger is going to come in from now till the end of the season.
I've done brilliantly, Theo Walcott, and I just wonder what sort of appetite he'll have to be facing his former side at the weekend.
Rubbing his hands, Steve. He'd be rubbing his hands. Obviously, we know how Arsenal play. We know how they're so good going forward. Let's not take any away from that. They're going to have Mkhitaryan, Lacazette, Aubameyang, Ozil. There's going to be really good quality from Arsenal in the final curve, but that's the back where they're struggling. And the reminiscence of a very similar towards Liverpool's away. They're fantastic going forward, but at the back, conceded 2 or 3 against Swansea during the week. Their away form is absolutely shocking. If you picked up 13 points from 13 matches this season, Arsene Wenger. So I think that tells you where their problems lie. It's on the road. Obviously, this one's at the Emirates, where they are unbelievable. They have got a fantastic record at the Emirates. Scores in the last 26. And I just feel as if Walcott, if he's got a bit of a point to prove, he'll want to do it, won't he, against Arsenal, coming back to his old ground so much. And he'll want to say, do you know what? Yeah, you're foolish to not give me a game. You're foolish to sell me for 20-odd million because it's peanuts in this day and age, isn't it, Stephen? I fancy him to do well. Arsenal, 1-3. Everton, a massive 11-1. Now, if you're looking at in terms of having a bet in this one, Steve, you're going to be putting Arsenal down on every single coupon you have because Arsenal have beaten Everton more times than any other team in the Premier League. They've also scored more goals past Everton than any other team in the league. And Everton's last away win against Arsenal was in 1996. So you're expecting Arsenal to be on everyone's coupons up and down the country at 1-3. Aubameyang will make his debut. And Everton just haven't won a game at the Emirates. So it all points in the direction of Arsenal victory. But I think Everton just basically sitting back, typical Sam Allardyce, like they did in the Merseyside derby, sitting back and hoping with the pace of Balassi and Walcott, lead them up front and they can hurt them.
Although there is something inherently wrong, isn't there? You hinted at it then about Arsenal at the moment. They gather all this wealth of attacking talent, but at the heart of the club, the fans aren't happy. The buys seem a little bit all over the place, not to make a full squad, and they're never quite realising their full ambitions as Arsenal Football Club.
No, but I think Jimmy Carragher made a good point on last night against Arsenal. It needs to rocket right through the football club from the bottom right up to the top. And you want to see Arsenal do well. Arsenal, a fantastic club. I love Arsenal. I love watching them play. I love Arsene Wenger. You love the fans' commitment. Very historic football club. And you like to see them do well. But do you know what? They're just too soft. And they have been for quite a long while. But on the flip side of that, Steve, if someone was to ask you, there's a manager coming in and he's brought Champions League football for the best part of 20-odd years. Obviously, this year was his first season out of it. But that's unbelievable in its extent. And to win trophies as well along that way, I think we've won the FA Cup 3 times over the last 4 years. Now, I'm not being funny. If you were to ask any manager, even your Guardiolas, your Mourinhos, your Klopps, your Pochettinos, obviously it's that competitive at the top six at the moment. If you were to ask any of them, would you take top four and a trophy? They'd bite their hands off, Steve. Kind of so competitive. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what Arsenal have done for so long that it's probably forgotten about. But obviously towards now, this season, it's kind of tailed off. And you're thinking to yourself, do you know what? Now's the time. You need to just, he's probably just, who's the tallest Arsene Wenger at the time? A 28-year-old for 50-odd million, a 29-year-old for 40 million. He has never done that. And I think this is the final season for him. Even though he signed a 2-year contract, I think this is the final season for him. We'll go, do you know what? I threw all my eggs in the basket. Let's hope he can win the Europa League and qualify for the Champions League at the same time. And I think he'll wave goodbye then to Arsenal.
We had the really good discussion on the Radio City Legends last night with Aldo and Sharpie about what do these clubs exist for. So we talked about Everton, Arsenal, and Liverpool. And, you know, Liverpool, do you believe Liverpool exists as a club to win trophies in terms of what the owners want?
No, I don't. I don't think you do, Steve. I think FSG would be happy with Liverpool hitting top four, getting through the group stages every single year. That's my argument. I really feel that. If that was the case, then why aren't Liverpool going all guns blazing in all these cup competitions over the last 4 or 5 years? Yes, they've got through a couple of cup finals, but I know Everton get a lot of stick for not winning a trophy in, best part of 24, 25 years. But let's have a look at Liverpool. One League Cup in the best part of 13 years now. So since 2006 to 2018, there's been one League Cup won by Kenny Dalglish. Now, I'm not being funny, Steve. That's as bad as anything up there when you're looking out there. Arsenal keep on winning FA Cups. Chelsea won the league last year. Man United won a couple of trophies last year. City are going to win trophies this year. So it's only Liverpool and Tottenham out of that top six that are basically trophyless over the last couple of years. So I think that has to change. Liverpool have got one chance to win that Champions League. It's going to be tough. Tottenham, likewise. I think probably Tottenham are probably better better place to win a Champions League than they are to finish fourth, me personally. But I think it's a good point, Steve, and it's one that I'll always rumble on. I think if you ask the majority of boardrooms and chairmen in the country, they'll all take top four in terms of the trophy. But if you ask the majority of fans, you'd take Wembley in an FA Cup any day of the week. Because what can you show? What can you show your lad? Oh, you listen to the Champions League music? Or what do you want to show your lad? Well, going down to Wembley, making sure he wins, so watches his team win the FA Cup. And that's something that I'll always live, and that's always a football fans' dream.
I think you're right. It's just the problem for Liverpool and Everton that they live historically in the shadows of such success. So that's the overriding problem for you. But I totally agree. I think Liverpool currently exists as a side, as a club, just to be in the top four, which is a massive, massive shame. Now, they've got a huge game on Sunday, of course, 4:30 kickoff against Spurs. And, well, it could be another classic like the City game, really.
I totally agree, Steve. I totally agree. I think Liverpool 11-10, Tottenham 5-2. For me, this is the game of the weekend. Now, obviously, you see the relegation 6 points. This is a Champions League 6 points. This, it really is. Obviously, Liverpool would want revenge after the 4-1 game during this season. Now, Tottenham have only won, interestingly, Steve. Tottenham have only won one of their last 23 visits to Anfield. And Pochettino, I love the way he plays. And he often gets criticised away from home, Tottenham, against these big sides. He struggled against Arsenal this season, struggled against Manchester United. And even Liverpool, to a certain extent, won win in the last 23 in Anfield. Mm. So when they go into these big teams away from home, they're struggling. So it's got to be some of a mindset. Now, if Tottenham turn up and have a go, it'll be absolutely fascinating. And the way two teams line up under Klopp and Pochettino, obviously we've seen the 4-1 this season. I can see more goals again. I really can. Two defences are going to be squeezed right high up the pitch, that the game is just going to be effectively played on the halfway line. Lots of room in behind. There's going to be lots of goals. I can't see any other way. I don't think Tottenham can adjust the way they play. Klopp certainly can't. He only played one way. So I just think two defenders will be squeezed high up the pitch. Lots of room in behind. I just think there'll be goals galore. My certainty is over 3 goals in this. It's 7-4. And I can't see it. It's an absolute steal, I think, in my opinion.
Tottenham brought a player in late in the transfer window in Lucas Moura from PSG. Is he even going to be able to get in the side?
I don't know. It's going to be interesting, isn't it? You're looking for Tottenham, what they signed. You're always looking. They looking to keep their players more than anything. Obviously, with the Eriksen, Delian, Vertonghen, Alderweireld, Harry Kane, a lot of, they've got quality in there, haven't they? And they're looking to keep all of their players. And yet they made one or two buys in the window. But I just think the way they played against Manchester United, frankly, that lack getting a look in, to be honest. They play really well. Now, there's not many teams that beat Manchester United this season, but to beat them comfortably the way they did, I know it was a 2-0 scoreline, but effectively, by all accounts and all reports, Tottenham were well the better side, cruised to Manchester United. And that'll give them confidence going into this match. And Liverpool have got to be aware. Yeah, we've seen what happens in the last couple of matches Liverpool have had. Yes, they beat Huddersfield, but there's been big defeats there that they didn't expect, West Brom and Swansea. Tottenham a different kettle of fish. Tottenham will come there, they'll be compact, their defence right high up the pitch, and Harry Kane's a danger. And it's going to be an absolute belting game, Steve. I can't wait to watch it. It's on Sunday, isn't it? Big game Sunday afternoon, and I think it should have all the makings of another Manchester City Liverpool match.
Hope so. I watched that United game. Tottenham battered them. They looked absolutely class. So I think it's going to be fascinating to see how these two sides come together on Sunday. Tony, thank you. I presume the Scotty Betts TV is up on YouTube later.
Yeah, it will be on later on, Steve. Yeah, another good week last weekend, tipping all the yellow cards and the FA Cup.
he loves his cards.
Open likewise again this weekend.
Top man. Thank you very much indeed.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.